Well, we know that Liz Truss has been a great ally of Boris Johnson's. Her speech yesterday, it was, from my perspective, I think it was somewhat disappointing. The reference she made to Boris Johnson dealing with Brexit, getting Brexit done, is far from done from our perspective. And her speech overall would be somewhat concerning because the protocol was nowhere to be seen in there. And as nearly as if there are other issues that of concern in Britain, and the protocol and the deal with the EU isn't really of concern. So there's a lot of don'ts, Greg. And you know, of course, Heaton Harris, you say, a very much a Truss ally. He's worked under Truss before as a junior minister. He's been a hardline Brexiteer. He was chair of the European Research Group, along with people like Rees-Mogg. And that's a group that very much backed the DUP and their position in relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol dispute. I no doubt the DUP will be happy with him being in position. What maybe does augur well is that the DUP may be getting what they want and may open the door for them to enter Stormont.
I think the new Northern Ireland Secretary, along with the British government, accept that the protocol is not working. Now, we're still, though, at this in the same position. What's the resolution? Is it, you know, a negotiated where settlement with the EU where both have to give ground or come up with a resolution? Or is it back to overriding parts of the protocol? And then we don't know what the DUP might do dependent on which path Liz Truss and her government take. So we're really no further on. We just have to wait and see then, do we?
There's a lot of that. We'll have to wait and see. But at the end of the day, this is a new Prime Minister. She needs early wins here. She's taken over a very stormy economy. Even her proposals over the last few weeks in relation to the economy has had got quite a backlash from the markets. So she needs some short-term wins. Where she could have a win very quickly is in relation to the protocol. That in turn could give her a win in relation to having an agreement.
Can I just put a counterpoint to that? My feeling is that she won't want to be conceding any ground to the EU early in her position, like to be seen to be negotiating or conceding anything. And I don't think to the hardliners that she could actually sell that to them at this point, especially when she's got so many other fish to fry. Maybe I'm being a bit pessimistic here, but I just can't imagine that she will want to be seen, especially as a former foreign secretary, to be backing down in any way, shape or form to the EU.
What I would say to you is this. Over the last number of weeks, her proposals in relation to the economy have had a very bad impact. The markets have responded really poorly. The investors are dropping the pound in government bonds. That doesn't augur well for her. She really needs short-term wins. And there is a short-term one in relation to Brexit. That, in turn, could lead to a trade deal with the US, a significant positive for her. These are the type of ones she needs, the bounces she needs. But she's not going to have long to turn this around. Different to Boris Johnson's position, even though we still said similar, her time here will be much shorter. If she hasn't turned around and delivered some positive vibes for the Conservative Party by spring of next year, I don't think she'll be around for much longer after it.
No, I mean, to be honest, it already feels a wee bit like she's a dead man walking in that, you know, 57% of Conservatives voted in favour of her, but only a third of MPs, Conservative MPs, backed her in the final round of voting. You know, that leaves her on very thin ice in terms of the decisions she makes. Like, even sticking €150 billion of debt on the British public to try and address the energy crisis. I mean, that to me, it's not targeted. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Sorry, I drifted off on that because I still can't get my head around those figures.
But there are some short-term ones that she could have. And if she's smart, she will try and get those short-term ones. That'll start to see her in a positive light. Someone that's in control. someone that's a leader and someone that's looking after Britain's interests. It'll also look good for an international stage. As you know, over the last number of years, the British government's position has looked shifty. You do a deal one day and the next day you don't know where you stand. She needs to do something about that perspective, how they're looked upon across the world stage. And those early ones are vital.
What about our government, though? I mean, obviously, this is between Britain and the EU, and we are, of course, part of the EU. It's not between Ireland and Britain. But do you think that this should be an opportunity for Simon Coveney or whomever it might be, you know, to call a meeting to try and sort of like side hustle a little bit, maybe even get some gains themselves from it?
Absolutely. It's really important that Simon Coveney, the Taoiseach, get in there right away and form relationships and to start moving our agendas forward. And I've no doubt they'll do that. But in relation to the protocol, there's so much we can do. It depends on the other side and their will to dance with you. Up to now, the last couple of years, that hasn't been happening. But all we can do is hope that turns around with this new administration.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Liz Truss is employing her own tactics to keep the cost of energy down. The EU is going to be making a decision as it relates to gas and the input costs into as a way for the European Union to try and address the issue. But we buy most of our gas from Britain, as far as I'm aware. I just hope that we don't end up becoming some sort of a pawn in the whole Brexit electricity crisis scenario.
Yeah, and I suppose we could have become a much bigger pawn through the whole Brexit negotiation. And in more recent times, the one strong standpoint we have had is in relation to our relationship with the US administration. I think Brexit would have turned out much worse for us had it not be for their stance-state approach to this. Even as of last night, President Biden spoke to the new Prime Minister and was very steadfast in relation to protecting peace in Northern Ireland, protecting the Good Friday Agreement, and ensuring that there's a negotiated settlement as soon as possible in relation to the issues outstanding with the protocol.
How serious do you think Chris Heaton-Harris will take this job? Because it almost feels like he's doing a favour for his former boss. This is the job that nobody wants, you know, and we've seen from previous Northern Ireland secretaries, there's a real lack of understanding. It's kind of like asking me questions about council politics in Wicklow. I have no interest, you know what I mean? I could get a book out and study a little bit, but, you know, I have no interest in that. And I just wonder, really, he's going to have to learn quickly, but are you confident that he'll sort of take the job seriously?
I wouldn't say I'm confident, Greg, at all. You know, the fact that the protocol in Northern Ireland didn't appear in her speech yesterday for me was worrying. That would lead you to believe that Northern Ireland really isn't of concern to her.
And just one question on that, Niall, because you've mentioned that a couple of times, and that really is significant, isn't it? You know, they know that these speeches go down in history. They have a team that write them. These aren't off-the-cuff remarks. They would sit around and say, you know, what points do we want to make? Where do we want to hit? Where do we want to score big? You know, it's not just an oversight that Northern Ireland might not be mentioned or doesn't have a prominence. It's not an accident. They would have decided very clearly what they felt was important and what message they wanted to get across. You know that from politics yourself.
Yeah. You could read one or two things from this, Greg. They're either going to deal with the protocol in Northern Ireland fairly swiftly and quickly and try and resolve issues, or it's not going to be a priority for them. And your fear would be that it's not really going to be a priority. It's going to linger on there. And their priority will be the UK economy on the other side of the English Channel.
Yeah, and I also think, Niall, we can't, like, it's very easy to see the EU as the really, really good person and Britain as the really, really bad person. Like, we have to trust, too, that the EU don't try and leverage here, that they are genuinely open to an arrangement, that they aren't continuing to try and show other countries that might be wobbling on the union that leaving is really, really bad. Do you know what I mean? We have to trust that the EU will do their bit to try and come up with a resolution here too.
Oh, absolutely, Greg. You're 100% right. And over the last 18 months, the same issues have been arising. The EU has shown form here, and they have resolved some of the issues that arose. The medicines was a great example of that. They've dealt with that issue. They've suggested that similar issues could be resolved in the same manner, but it takes engagement from both sides. The British government haven't been engaging. They've been talking stories, telling stories. Conor Barnes took last May, June, and spent 2 months in the States and thought he was going to destroy our relationships in the US, and made every effort to contact senior politicians in the US to destroy that relationship and hope that they would break that relationship down and do what they want to do.
That backfired. It all backfired
completely, resulting in him not even getting the Secretary of State in Northern Ireland wasn't even offered to him, even though the current one was in fourth position to take it. Absolutely, it's about the EU being competent here. The EU have been very competent. They're open to resolving issues. They're open to making changes, but make changes that we sit down and negotiate on a one-to-one basis. Britain has been scapegoating it somewhat and talking around it and not attending the talks, not doing it meaningfully. They need to be meaningful and come and engage constructively and in a manner where they want to resolve the issue.
Okay.
That has been missing thus far, but hopefully that changes, Greg.
Thanks for your time, and apologies for being a bit late coming to you. I do appreciate your patience. Thank you, Senator Niall Blaney there, spokesperson on Northern Ireland.